What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory! Woo! You better put them hands together.
Put them together for Monday on B&E. Hope you had a great weekend. The fog has rolled in here in West Austin. I know that. Warm conditions today. It's going to be a record setter as far as overall temp today. Looks like 93 degrees potentially, which would break the all-time record of 91 for this 25th of October. Cold front coming later in the week. Here's a text from our man, Longhorn Bear, who says, thanks, F1. There are 36,000 people at the airport this morning. Yeah, we warned you early, and they warned you all weekend.
This yeah, man, if I'd have gone to the airport today, I had to get there by 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, they were...
So I could look at them all, see who I'm going to have to go after first.
They're calling it the busiest airport day ever at ABIA because of the crowds of F1 fans getting out of town. We'll talk to our buddy Rodney Rodriguez from Revved Up ATX coming up and Revved Up Racing. He's been to a lot of big races. He's been to a lot of races at COTA, NASCAR. What he saw this weekend stack up as far as energy and crowds and just an overall great race. Electricity there was star-studded. The celebrities were out to see it, and guess what? They got to fly out too. So you might see some famous people at the airport if you're there this
morning. Absolutely.
We've got that for you. Also, you know, thoughts and prayers of the folks in Kerrville, Texas, Buck. I don't know if you saw that story. That was an unbelievable story. A drag racing accident took the lives of two young boys in Kerrville over the weekend, 6 and 8, who were spectators at a drag race. It was an organized drag race at an airstrip out there at the airport in Kerrville. And one of the cars got loose, drove into the crowd and killed two young boys and injured some other folks.
Oh, that's sad.
Terrible story. I mean, out for a fun night and watching fast cars and that kind of stuff in Kerrville, what was supposed to be a jolt of tourism and fun turned into tragedy. So thoughts and prayers to those folks there in Kerrville, Texas, waking up this morning to that news. Terrible story, for sure, on a Monday.
And you're going to wake up to some warm weather today.
It's
going to
be hot.
Humid weather.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like late October. But I always say when I was a kid, I'd get grumpy on Halloween when it was hot. You know, you had to put that costume on to be down in Houston there in the muggy. It's like, ugh. It's going to be cool. This cold front that's coming on Wednesday is going to drop temperatures and lows in the 40s over the weekend.
Yes.
Temperatures up in the 70s, which is good. So Halloween on Sunday, that's when the trick-or-treating will
is
be.
Is that when the kids will come out? They don't come out Saturday night?
I believe night. So. I mean, that's Halloween is actually
on Sunday.
On Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, well, then they should be trick-or-treating on Sunday. Generally, a lot of times they'll do stuff on a Saturday.
And Saturday is when you're going to have all the costume parties. All of the...
Oh, when the adults go out?
The adults go out and
the
get
foolish
dressed
ones
up
and
act do all
and
the foolishness.
Stay in character all night long.
That is correct.
Do you remember the dude that used to be at our other building, used to dress like Elvis every year,
yeah.
Tight pants,
yeah.
And stay in character all day, and I'm like, dude, you are not Elvis, so stop it.
Yeah, he wouldn't just dress up, he would become Elvis.
Yes.
Like he would talk in a silly Elvis accent the whole day.
Hey, you know who I am, I'm Elvis.
I'm not Bruce today, I'm Elvis.
I'm like, dude, you know, you're Bruce and you're a jerk, and take those tight pants off by noon, please.
Going to win this race.
I'm Elvis.
That's coming up this week and weekend.
And this
the
is
Halloween
the time
fun.
When Ben Foss used to dress up like Spider-Man with the tight stuff all around his junk.
Steve Foster? Yeah.
Yeah. He used to wear tight junk.
He's a bigger guy, and he came in like a kid's Spider-Man costume.
And Kevin Hart.
It's kind of like what Megan Thee Stallion was trying to wear at COTA yesterday.
He was revealing everything.
It was all out there.
Oh, really? Nice.
At least Megan Thee Stallion did it on like National Tight Ends Day. Because
yeah.
It was National Tight Ends Day.
Foss just did it for Halloween.
Sharing her tight end yesterday. It's big, it's round, but she was for all to see yesterday at COTA. All right, well, let's get to the headlines. Trending topics this morning, the news you need to know as you're up and out. Then we'll get the eyewitness account of the weekend at COTA from our buddy Rodney. First, the news. Top Gun Lawn Equipment Rentals bring you the news. And yeah, we start with the racing. It was a great scene over the weekend. Fans flocking Dakota for the Formula One race on the weekend. 140,000 fans estimated yesterday there for the race itself, and they were treated to one heck of a finish as they saw the young gun of the circuit, Max Verstappen, the Dutchman, hold off the great Lewis Hamilton by just 1.3 seconds in a back-and-forth race. They started next to each other on row one and finished 1-2. The 23-year-old Dutchman now 8 wins on the season. His lead in the driver standings for the F1 Championship is 12 points with 5 races to go. Great crowd on hand yesterday afternoon in North Austin as well. Q2 Stadium, Austin FC scored a pair of first-half goals and held on for a 2-1 win over their rivals from Houston, the Dynamo. Sebastian Drewsy's goal in the closing seconds of the first half turned out to be the difference maker. Verde will be on the road this week at FC Dallas on Saturday. In the NFL, first-place Dallas Cowboys didn't play this week, but they still extended their lead in the NFC East without even hitting the field. That's because Washington got trounced by Green Bay 24-10. Philadelphia lost out in Vegas. The rest of the division sitting at 2-5, looking up at the 5-1 Cowboys. Houston Texans, 1-6 on the year, got clobbered by the now 7-0 Arizona Cardinals out in the desert, 31-5. Other Week 7 highlights, Tom Brady became the first QB ever to throw 600 touchdown passes. He now has 602 after tossing 4 yesterday in a Buccaneers rout of the Bears, 38-3. Upstart Cincinnati Bengals, one of the stories of the day. They move into first place in the AFC North with an ultra-impressive 41-17 win in Baltimore. Joe Burrow over 400 yards passing. Tennessee flattened a disappointing Kansas City Chiefs team, 27-3. And last night in San Francisco, the Indianapolis Colts took down the 49ers in a driving rainstorm, 30-18. College football, Longhorns, of course, enjoyed their bye week. They will be at Baylor this coming Saturday. Bears at 6-1 moved up 4 spots in this week's AP poll without playing. They come in at number 16 this week. Georgia Bulldogs remain the unanimous number one team, followed by unbeaten Cincinnati. Alabama up to number 3 this week, moving past undefeated Oklahoma. Oklahoma struggled mightily with Kansas this Saturday. Ohio State at 5, followed by Michigan. Wolverines face the 8th-ranked and undefeated Michigan State Spartans this week in a big one. A battle of unbeatens there coming up Saturday. Texas A&M at 14, SMU 19, UTSA. Roadrunners cracked the top 25 this week at number 23.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. Football's back. Come do your end zone dance after you buy or rent the equipment you need and win a bottle of 1942 Don Julio or Blanton's Whiskey. TopGun.net. We'll shoot you straight.
Shoot you straight. All right, good weekend. We've got the World Series set. We've got football aplenty. We've got racing to recap. Zay, I sent you some audio on the Twitters, but I want to get the audience the latest. And on this just came down moments ago from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. We talked about the Houston Texans, 1-6. They want to trade Deshaun Watson. They're going to trade Deshaun Watson likely before November the 2nd, a week from tomorrow, is the NFL's trade deadline. We had John McClain from the Houston Chronicle on the show on Friday, and he reported that he thought it would be the Miami Dolphins and might be done sooner than later. Here's Ian Rappaport this morning. Remember, the Dolphins are interested. They lost this weekend, lost to the Falcons yesterday. The Carolina Panthers are interested. They not only lost to the New York Giants, they lost badly, Buck, and they benched Sam Darnold
right
in that game. And then the Philadelphia Eagles are seen to be a suitor, potentially. Jeffrey Lurie, the owner, reportedly has given Howie Roseman, the general manager, permission to seek a trade for Deshaun Watson. They also lost yesterday. They're 2-5 on the season with Jalen Hurts. Here's the latest from Ian Rappaport this morning on what he's hearing as it pertains to Deshaun Watson.
As of right now, Deshaun Watson is still a member of the Houston Texans, but there is a belief, a good chance, I would say, if that is not the case by the time the November 2nd trade deadline rolls around. I'm told that the Houston Texans have been engaged with multiple teams. I know there was a report last week about the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins do have some interest. Obviously, there has been some dialogue with the Houston Texans, but they are not alone. Another team to watch, the Carolina Panthers. They have not been shy about making a trade. As GM Scott Fitterer once said, they want to be in every trade. I would expect them to have conversations as well. There may be other teams. The Eagles have been another team that have been rumored to be interested in Deshaun Watson. And, of course, there are several other factors. His legal situation is, as yet, right now, unresolved. That is another factor to consider, and we should also add, if a team does trade for Deshaun Watson, who is in good shape and ready to play right now, the indications from the NFL is that he would not be placed on the commissioner's exempt list, because that is essentially, if you have been charged with a violent crime or a felony, that does not appear right now to apply to Deshaun Watson. So the belief is he would be eligible to play immediately upon trade.
All right, we'll follow that story between now and next Tuesday. Might happen sooner, and the Texans are now getting what they want, which it sounds like multiple suitors, not just the Dolphins, which could drive the price up a little bit here for the
Texans. Yeah, the last time that guy was on the field, they won four games, which was incredible.
And he played phenomenal with the worst defense in the league and no running game at all, and he was amazing.
Look, yes,
at his number, he on a 4-12 team with a terrible cast, he was a top five rated quarterback in the National Football League. So that's the star power, but obviously the baggage that comes with it, the 22 civil cases. But you just heard Ian Rappaport. You know, people will immediately talk about Zeke Elliott getting that 6-game suspension with the Cowboys. This is a new situation. You know, the new collective bargaining agreement actually lessened Roger Goodell's power in these cases. The league still investigates, but the players were getting tired of stuff like Zeke Elliott being suspended, you know, putting it on the commissioner's exempt list with no charges being filed. That now, as you heard from Ian Rappaport, it needs to be a serious, you know, felony charge or a violent crime, which he's not been charged with anything from the, you know, Houston authorities at this point. These are all civil at this point. There's an investigation ongoing, but it does sound like multiple teams are at least interested in taking the risk, because then it would become their issue to watch and deal with legally. Texans would be out from under it and would have, you know, draft picks to restock and rebuild down in Houston. So that's the latest there. We'll get you the latest on the other weekend events in football. But right now, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. We talked to him on Friday, the preview of the weekend. We now recap F1 weekend with our buddy Rodney Rodriguez. Revved Up ATX did great work posting things into our Facebook page and reporting from COTA all weekend long, all over our social media and website. Rodney, how are you, bud?
I'm doing well, guys. I'm glad I'm not at the airport this morning, I can tell you that.
There's no doubt about that, but hot damn, what a weekend out there, huh?
Man, I got to tell you, Buck, I've been there for a lot of different things, but I've never, when I saw what I saw Friday, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, crying out loud, this is going to be ridiculous. And yesterday, it was unbelievable how many people were there. It was, when you talk about masses, I mean, everywhere you looked, every part of the track, I mean, when you would see on their track vision thing, I mean, you'd see different parts. The grandstands were packed. I mean, the open areas and
every turn.
Parking. I mean, obviously the lots were full, but you could actually go on 812 and find, you know, private lots. Those were packed. I mean, it was just masses everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, and talk about the energy, Rodney. I mean, you've been to so many races there and, you know, NASCAR races at TMS and all over. I mean, what was the energy like with that massive crowd? I mean, it seemed like the intensity of the crowd was more than we've seen before.
Place was rocking, man. And I can tell you, Aaron, you hit the nail on the head Friday when you were talking about Drive to Survive, because that was, as I was walking through there, I mean, I kept hearing people talk about that. And you could hear other people saying, well, you know who the true Formula One fans are, you know, before the documentary, all this, that, and the other. But, I mean, that's really the whole thing. I mean, I remember the last time Formula One was here a couple of years ago when I was there, I didn't hear near as many people referring to Perez as Checo, which, you know, people started realizing that his nickname was Checo, you know, through this documentary. And it was really obvious yesterday that there is a new energy, that there's a new scene with Formula One. And this really was worldwide. I heard so many different languages. Man, it was crazy.
And the race itself, Rodney, the top three guys were just getting after each other. And the competition was, do you get tires now? Do you get tires later? What do you leave it for? The last 10 laps was fantastic, I thought.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, it all came down to what we were talking about on Friday. You know, the bumps that we were talking about.
Yeah, and the air.
Yeah. That became more and more evident as the weekend went on. And, you know, the soft, the medium, the hard tire, what do you do? And I thought it was a really gutsy move right there at the start of the race for Verstappen and Red Bull to come in and go to the mediums, you know, so early in the race and get some track position right there. Because I think the weekend was so weird. When we started Friday, it looked like Mercedes was going to continue to dominate like they always have. And then Red Bull kind of took a stab at him. And then Lewis wins the pole and gets the jump. And it looks like he's going to take off. But I think that Red Bull did an exceptional job of managing the racetrack and managing the weather. Because yesterday was, oh my, it was so hot out there that was a huge factor with all of that tire wear.
The bumps are going to become a story. I know for that's really like technical inside racing stuff, but I mean, obviously the track itself, 10 years old now, Rodney, and you know, I remember as they were building that, you know, hearing from builders that build homes that way, that's very soft, you know, shale. It's not the hard limestone you see in the hill country. And are they dealing with some settling issues with that track that are going to be ongoing maintenance problems?
You know, I compared it Saturday on the show to like a post-tension foundation on a house.
Yeah.
You know, you build it nowadays and you have that post-tension, you have those cables in there because your house continually flexes and you really don't know it, but it does. And it's just with the ground that here in Central Texas. And that's something that's going to continue to happen over there. And I don't think that they'll go in there and do any repaving or anything like that. I mean, Atlanta Motor Speedway is one track that they just let this track continue to fall apart and the racing got better. And I think what's going to happen here is they'll leave this alone. I mean, they're going to have to be watching this. But I really think that Red Bull did a good job yesterday. I don't know what they did with their rear end housing or something in the rear end, but I think they managed their rear tires somehow better than everybody else, because they were when Max would take off, even Perez, they just seemed a tick better than everybody. But this is where it's becoming a really cool prize fight, guys, because 2 weeks ago in Turkey, we saw the same thing, but it was Mercedes that had the upper hand. So this is getting good for the last five races.
Ronnie, tell us what that means, dirty air. There was a lot of talk about dirty air late in the race. Is that the air underneath that when you hit your full, when you're hitting full throttle, it's going back behind the guy that's behind you? A lot of words, yeah, a lot of dirty air calls.
It's a combination of the air that you're driving into and the air that circulates underneath the race car. Mm-hmm. These Formula One cars, the rake on them, and when I say rake, you know, imagine like a leaf rake, you know, that kind of what that looks like. These cars sit like that. The front grabs, and then there's a lot of space underneath. So you've got a lot of air that you're traveling into, especially mm-hmm. when you're in traffic. I mean, if you're coming up to lap traffic, you're in dirty air because you're getting stuff off of those cars. It's going up, over, and around yours, and it has a tremendous effect. I mean, especially in the higher speed portions of the racetrack, and navigating all of that gets to be a chore. And it really did factor in yesterday, where it never had before. It never had in one of these races.
Rodney Rodriguez, Revved Up ATX, every Saturday. He's our racing show, also the podcast, Revved Up ATX, and Revved Up Racing with Rodney and his team there, and the race itself off the hook. Now, give me your star sightings. Who'd you run into or see that would be of note? And I know it was you know, celebrities abound from all over to be a part of this.
You know, I only saw the people that were you know, that would pop up on the screens. I actually didn't run face to face into anyone. What I did run into, because I had my revved up, you know, polo on, you know, whatever, I ran into a lot of listeners.
Cool.
So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. You know, so just a lot of folks that really dig what we're doing and listen to live local programming, you know, all the time with the horn. So. A lot of listeners, and it really was. I met a lot of cool people, met a lot of new people, and that's great. Hopefully that enthusiasm, that energy is going to keep up for Circuit of the Americas to be able to keep presenting these races and get FIA out there and NASCAR, and I'd love to see IndyCar come back, man. Talk about a trifecta.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Ronnie, talk to us about when is it time for you to pull your ass over and get out of the left lane. I heard a lot of that later in the race, too. When people are over the air telling guys, you need to get out of the way, you're slowing down everybody else, you're not going to win, you're not going to be in this thing, you either need to pull over into the gravel or just get to the inside. I mean, how do you know when to duck out and let guys go by and how to let them go by? I mean, where is the spot that you should be letting people pass you in a race? Is it that when it's about eight laps to go and you know you're not really in competition to do much except for finish a race?
Yeah, you get in a situation like that, and I mean, you've got somebody talking to you in your ear. I mean, they should be letting you know what's going on. But you know, racers. I mean, racers are just like you know any other athlete. I mean, they've got a very short window of time to get out there and perform and mm-hmm. do what they you know get to do. I mean, it's kind of like Buck with you guys with Lake Travis. You know, when you get to the end of the game and you start bringing in all these guys that may not be getting playing time, you know, as much.
Right.
It's like these racers are the same way. They're like, you know, we're on the track for 2 hours. We want to. They're a lot of times with these guys that are in those positions, they're auditioning for a job. You know, they want to be noticed by Mercedes or somebody else. And it gets hard. It gets hard. I mean, it's between the spotter and the driver to figure out what's best. And I know that these guys running at the front, I know it pisses them off when these guys just don't want to pull over. I mean, we see it in NASCAR all the time where guys just will not get out of the way. But just nature of the beast right here. That's why they make the big money and they're called the best in the world, because part of it's navigating around some of that stuff.
That's right. They're still competitors. Rodney, real quick, Verstappen wins it, Red Bull wins it. I mean, how big is this with 12-point lead with five to go? Still five big races, including Mexico City in early November. But is Verstappen now firmly in control, or is this thing still wide open in your mind?
I think we're still wide open here because they're just going back and forth. Like I was saying in Turkey a couple of weeks ago, you know, it was the other way around, you know, with Mercedes. But I think Verstappen is in control because what you just said, he's leading. So I think that's definitely the case right there. Now it's going to come down to the engineers, the mechanics, everybody else to make sure that these pieces don't fall apart on these guys, because one technical failure, or, you know, one violation, any little thing right now can cost you a world driving championship with either one of these guys. So now is where we see that team aspect with these guys, you know, again, like we're talking about, they get paid handsomely to do fantastic things. Now the rest of the team is going to have to contribute right here. But this definitely appears to be a Red Bull championship to lose, because they've got an energy and momentum that nobody has had here with Mercedes. I don't think you've got Lewis and Mercedes on the ropes yet, but you're landing some pretty nice jabs right here.
Hey, Rodney, how about Bobby Epstein? Does it feel like he's going to get this thing done somehow, some way, whether it's privately or through state, you know, for funding for next year?
Yeah, yesterday definitely helped, Bucky. I can tell you, man, I have never seen that place packed like that. I mean, it seemed like, you know, half the population of Austin was there just with all the people there. And the experience was great. You know, there were a lot of things to do there. I mean, you go there for the race, but there's other cool stuff there. I know there were some issues there with the shuttles and so forth, but, you know, we talked about it on Friday. You need to be patient, and people fly off the handle about stuff, but
right,
it's not really in your control when you don't have buses or you don't have people. I mean, it's could they have thought it out better? Maybe, but they're trying to please, you know, they're trying to serve all of these people. And honestly, I think more people showed up than they really thought they were going to have. But I think that this is definitely this whole season out there between the great NASCAR weekend and this fantastic Formula One weekend, I think Circuit of the Americas is really establishing themselves, and people are going to come up to the mark and make sure this world-class racetrack, you know, continues to thrive.
Yeah, $25 million it'll take to bring it back and take that asterisk off the schedule for next October 23rd, if you're already planning ahead, is when the 2022 U.S. Grand Prix is scheduled out there at COTA. Rodney, thanks so much for the coverage this weekend. And
great job, man.
Bookends for us on Friday and Monday. Appreciate you bringing our audience out there and the eyewitness.
Absolutely, guys. You got it, man. Have a good day. Let's go Astros.
Let's go Astros. There you go, Rodney. There you go, Rodney.
There you go, Rodney.
Yeah, I mean, they've got to get that thing secured. Is it state funding? I mean, there's an argument to be made that, you know, $25 million, it boosts tourism. I mean, it's the busiest day ever at the airport. It's good for the economy, but at the same time, that's $25 million in taxpayer dollars. Can you find it privately? We'll follow that story as it develops. Also, of note, the Drive to Survive, the Netflix series, having a huge impact. Think about that, Buck. Just a series you can all watch on Netflix that takes you behind the scenes of F1, driving this passion and this new wave of fans.
It's a great year.
Yeah.
A great season for them also.
Pretty cool. I mean, you know, every sport that's wanting to grow is going to look into something like that to see what F1 did and how they produced that show to create so much passion from folks all over the world. I also, Buck, made a trip to the Metroplex and back over the weekend for an event my daughter's sorority had.
Out in North Texas, dude. They hang in there?
They lost to Liberty. But, the Flames beat them, but it's closer to than anticipated. But I will make again. You mentioned the get out of the left lane, the left
yes.
lane squatters.
Yeah.
Once again, my unscientific eyeballs tell me that Subarus and Dodge trucks continue to be the number one culprit of left lane squatting.
The big trucks.
I don't know what it is about dudes in big Dodge trucks that feel like they can sit in the left lane and drive next to a semi.
Because they're in big Dodge trucks.
What the hell's going on with you? I understand. Maybe I get the Subaru people.
No.
Whatever, but
no.
Stop driving slow in the fast lane and holding up entire packs of cars.
Get into the middle one if you have to.
If you want to go the exact same speed as the car next to you, get in front of or behind the car next to you.
Right.
Dodge trucks. It's unscientific. I'm just saying, it always seems to be a Dodge truck or a Subaru.
Or a Subaru, huh?
Just moseying along.
Any little electric cars out there?
I don't know how people
beep,
like
beep,
that.
Beep, beep,
I don't know how beep, unaware beep. You can be to like not look back and see like 40 cars like right on your bumper going. Can
I
you
get
move?
Aware of it because when that person comes by me and they shoot the finger at me, I get it. I got
Jeez
you.
Jeez Louise.
Okay, I'll move over.
Yeah, get it. It's like Mike Evans yesterday, not realizing he just caught Tom Brady's 600 touchdown pass.
Don't run over and give it to some fan.
Handing it off in the fans.
Yo, Aggie, don't do that.
Come on, man. Have some self-awareness here. Let's pay attention to what's going on around here. All right, we'll pick up those stories coming up. Thank you to Rodney. If you're part of the race or on the way to the airport, let us know what you thought your experience was. Specs text line 512-337-3776 coming up. More on the top stories of the weekend. Craig Way has a Craig Way report. We've got salacious gossip and your blitz to come before the end of the hour on a jam-packed Monday.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
We ask for it. You deliver on the show of the people. Specs text line. It says the race was great. Edge of the seat all the way to the end. I've gone most years, and this was the biggest crowd I've seen. Hope they figure out a way to keep it here. Daniel Ricciardo in the NASCAR and the UT gear was epic. That was cool. They put Daniel Ricciardo, the F1 driver, in one of Dale Earnhardt's old stock cars. That was cool. Wearing the UT hoops gear as well. Great scene at COTA and great scenes all weekend out there. Also, it was a great scene at Minute Maid Park on Friday night. Astros into the World Series for the third time in 5 years. How about Yordan Alvarez, Buck? This dude is a 24-year-old monster who has been plugged into the middle of that order between the standbys, the Bregmans and the Correas and the Altuves, and just brought a new level of
just... He's got such a smooth swing. He's a scary batter, too, man.
Because
he can go deep on you.
Well, and he hits all fields, and we know today the launch angle's big. This dude just gets to the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He's Astro fans who have watched him emerge know when he gets hot, and the Red Sox found this out in the last two games, you just can't get him out. I mean, there's not a pitch you can throw that he can't hit. If you go back to Game 5 with the Chris Sale pitch that was half a foot off the plate, and he drove it over the Green Monster at 93, 94 miles an hour. Then they're trying to bust him in on Friday night, and he's ripping it down the line for a triple. I mean, he's just he's a force in an already powerful lineup. When he gets going, they become really, really dangerous. And over in the National League, Eddie Rosario did the same thing for the Braves, carried that group to a Game 6 victory and a series win over the Dodgers. And the Dodgers are out, Red Sox out, Astros, Braves into the World Series. And it does look like it's going to be Framber Valdez getting the ball for Game 1 tomorrow night for Houston. Luis Garcia, the young rookie who was so great in Friday night's closer, he gets the ball in Game 2. And it looks like Jose Urquidy gets Game 3. Now, the Astros have until tomorrow to finalize their World Series roster. The question will be Lance McCullers. Do they dare risk putting Lance McCullers back on the rep mound, even for a couple of innings, Buck?
Because no, he has to be all the way healthy. He's too valuable. I mean,
that's one of those you gotta
risk
trust
his long career,
term, his long term. But at the same time, if you feel like you can get an inning or two out of him in relief, even to help you win a World Series, I mean, that's what you do this for: develop all this talent, play all these games.
The thing
to
is,
get here.
Can he do it? That's the only. That's the thing.
And it's one of
he
those.
He may want to do it, but
yeah, do you risk it? And would it even be worth it? And we just saw the Dodgers, one of the reasons they're out is Max Scherzer couldn't pitch.
Said he had a dead arm.
Well, because, of course, remember, he closed out the series with the Cardinals and was the closer, finished the game, which is something he's not done before, got his first career save, and he hasn't been right since. So, yes, that's the risk. But at the same time, this is what you play the whole season for. This is what you do it all for, is to win four games right now to get to this point. So we'll see. I don't think he's going to make the roster. I don't think they're going to risk that. But at the same time, if the doctors, because they say it's not anything in his elbow, it's a forearm tightness thing. But typically that is the initial sign of something longer if you continue to not rest it. So that's going to be it's going to be a great series. Obviously, it's the Braves' first trip to the Classic since 99. Astros' third trip in the last 5 years, but they're old rivals from the National League days. This will be a fun series starting tomorrow night.
For sure.
And I'll remind people, the Astros, in their history, just 2-7 in World Series games at home. 2-7. That's got to get better, right? They played the Nationals a couple years ago and didn't win a single home game. They lost all four at Minute Maid Park, despite all the cheating and trash can allegations. They went 0-4. They won the three games in Washington, but couldn't close it out, and of course got swept by the White Sox in 05 and won two home games and beating the Dodgers for the World Championship back in 2017, their only World Series. So we'll follow that, get you ready for it. We're getting ready for Texas and Baylor as well now in college football. Steve Sarkisian Game Week News Conference coming your way at 11 o'clock this morning.
I don't know how you coach confidence to continue. You just got to keep playing. And guys for this team have to just be aware that you're still in the hunt. I mean, that's how important every down is.
Well,
and the game's not over in the fourth quarter. It's just beginning. And especially with your team, this is when the game really begins for the Longhorns.
Well, I think
quarter number four.
This was a bye week to everyone look in the mirror, right? Self-evaluation across the board, coaches too. I saw a great tweet from my buddy Rod Babers in the afternoon who went back and watched the film, last couple of losses, and reported that finding that in the first half when Texas was building these big leads, Sark used motion, you know, the pre-snap motion that he's so great with, to disguise what he's doing, create favorable matchups for his players. First half, over 75% of the time. Second half, down near 50% of the time. Question becomes, why when it gets stale, does Steve Sarkisian get stale with some of that fly motion action?
That eye candy stuff?
All the eye candy, which is a huge part of it. Why does it go away is a fair question. And you know, so when the players are, you know, the players aren't executing, isn't this where Sark has to dial up his best eye
right.
candy?
That's what I believe.
His most creative, you know, even if it's a basic play, you're running eye candy on it to create.
Because that's all your running back needs.
Yes.
Just somebody to get out of positioning.
Well, I mean,
that's what he needs.
I mean, how many times have you seen them, this team or teams now, where you bring that guy in motion, even if you fake it to him, you know, or you know, let him run and you fake the throw to him, like you're going to throw it out to him wide and run in full speed. Well, then you hand it off to the running back, and he's got it's a running lane you're trying to create for an offensive line that's struggling.
It's not going to just blow out everybody.
I think it's a fair question for Sark of why does that go down so dramatically. I mean, 25% is a pretty big drop. In motion usage first half to second half in these last two games. So, yes, everybody's got to self-evaluate. Pete Kwiatkowski on defense, and we've talked about experimenting with a four-man line. I mean, I think that only makes sense, Buck. I mean, what's one of your deepest position is defensive line on defense. Even if that's not your most dominant, you have more good players at that position than you do a linebacker.
Well, you have more players.
Yeah.
Numbers.
And you're not holding the edge. I mean, your outside linebackers aren't good at setting the edge, and
no.
You're trusting your linebackers to flow to that, and you're having your defensive guys hold these guys up and let the linebackers run to it. I know that's your defense, but self-evaluation. Are you better off putting a four-man line and letting these guys attack on the defensive front, create some havoc, create some issues for a defense instead of letting them just pound the rock and run the football? That's going to become a big question because these next two teams you're playing, you know what you're getting. You know, Baylor's going to run the ball 70% of the time.
Right.
Iowa State is going to give you a steady diet of Breece Hall and two and three tight end sets. And then they're going to run play action off of that with Brock Purdy and Xavier Hutchinson, the wide receiver, and the tight ends in the passing game. You know what's coming. So what is your plan?
No, nobody's going to change up on you. They're going to try to run the ball on you. They're not going to care what you show. They want to know if you guys are tough enough to stick in there. So are your four down linemen the best you can do? Is that your best option, or do you keep substituting these linebackers that don't get in a hole? I mean, now there's not substitutions. Guys have to play. I mean, there's certain guys that probably should be getting in the game sooner than later. You start putting in guys later and they don't have that much experience, that's where it starts. That's where it hurts. Some of those guys need to get in early, earlier in games, I believe.
And I do think it's fair for Sark to say, look, our defense has played pretty good for two and a half, three quarters. Well, is it something you go to a four-man line sometimes, right? Like throw a curveball at the D offense, right? Make them react to you, which it doesn't feel like. It does feel like the opposition is reacting to Texas, adjusting to Texas. What's Texas going to do to adjust back and to come back with their own counterpunch? I mean, it's a boxing match, right? And just because you won the first four rounds of the match or the bout doesn't mean you're going to win the fight. What was working in the first three or four rounds of that fight, he's going to take that away from you. And then, if he gets the advantage, you got to have something to punt the counterpunch back.
Yeah, and they still got to continue to win the special teams too.
Yeah, can't forget that.
That's one of the things they can hang their hat on. They've been playing pretty good special teams all year long, and you don't give up on that and just say, okay, we'll just do the basic thing. No, you continue. If somebody has a weakness on their punt, then you go after that punt. You go to Waco and say, we're going to block a punt again. We've blocked punts before. They got a weakness right here. Let's go attack that. You don't give up on that part of it. It's not giving up on it, but you just don't take that for granted that you can't out. You know, that's the scheming part. That's where the coach makes his money.
Yeah, on both sides. Both sides.
Yep.
Throw some adjustments. Surprise the defense or offense with something they hadn't seen yet. And that's on them. And the players then to execute it when they do. We'll hear from Sark at 11 o'clock today. Coming up after our salacious gossip and blitz, which is coming. The blitz is only as good as you make it. So make it good. Maybe you're sitting in traffic trying to get to the airport, whatever you're doing. Bring it strong. Coming out of the F1 weekend. Looking forward to a big time college and pro football weekend and the World Series here the final week of October. Bring the blitz. After that, we'll dive into the weekend of football as the reshuffling of the AP Top 25, who made their statements in the NFL. Cowboys improve on their standing without even playing. We'll get to all of it. But first, it's Craig Way.
Where you get that from? Did someone tell you that? Did someone tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
All right, Salacious Gossip is brought to you by Bud Light. Hope you had a great Bud Light weekend. They were flowing out at Coda yesterday with the packed house and the crowd. Plenty of ice-cold Bud Lights. Also watching the baseball, Astros into the World Series, the football on Saturday and Sunday. Out seeing the live music. Right, what was our report on the Billy Joel concert? I think our buddy BK, Brad Kellner, attended the Billy Joel show.
That young guy is a huge Billy Joel fan.
He is. Maybe we'll have to check
pretty
in
sure
with
he
BK
went with
this
his sister.
Week. We have to check in with BK this week down in Houston about his trip up for the Billy Joel concert on
it was
Saturday.
A nice night for it, for sure.
So, whatever you did this weekend, hopefully you were smart and safe, but did it with an ice-cold Bud Light. Loaded them up. You're going to need them for games 1 and 2 of the World Series tomorrow and Wednesday. And tonight, are you intrigued by the Monday Night Football Bud Light special, the Seahawks and Saints? To wrap up week 7?
No.
Yeah, no. Maybe. It's Geno Smith against Jameis Winston here tonight. Geno Smith against Jameis Winston. All right, Buck, here is your gossip. Can we hear from Tom Brady after? So the Buccaneers just, what do I like to say, tallywhacked the Bears yesterday?
They tallywhacked them. Yes, they did.
This game was 35.
They tallied them.
It was like 35-0 in the first half. I mean, Justin Fields had 5 turnovers. He was a wreck. You kind of figured that was coming because they weren't going to be able to run the ball against the Bucs, and it was going to be all on Justin Fields, and he got an F. Tom Brady, though, threw 4 touchdowns. He now has 602 for his career. He's the first player ever over 600 touchdowns. And on the 600th touchdown pass, he threw it to Mike Evans, the wide receiver, who promptly decided to give the ball to a fan in the stands, not understanding the importance of that football, historic football it was. So after the game, you know, they had to go back, and as we said, the trainers went over
equipment, man.
Gave him a new ball,
yeah.
And replaced it. And we said, man, that would be at least $1,000 to get that ball out of my hand.
And I'd have had to have a jersey out of that, too.
Something. Because that's a valuable football, my friends. And Mike Evans just handed it to you. Here's Tom Brady after the game weighing in on Mike Evans' lack of awareness.
That was really cool. I got in the bag over there, so... Mike gave it away. He goes, man, I'm sorry, man. I get it. I said, sorry. I'm sure they'll figure out a way to get it back. But I don't keep too many. I don't actually keep too many things. So in that circumstance, I felt like that might be a good one to keep.
Yeah.
The fan said when you asked for the football, he said he couldn't say no to Tom Brady. You got to give him respect.
That's pretty cool. He's going to get something nice in return. So we'll get him a helmet or a couple jerseys or some other stuff. So it was really cool of him to do that.
Yeah, there you go.
Helmet and a couple jerseys. Yeah, for sure.
600. Anybody ever get to that?
Now, Tom Brady will end up giving that guy. He'll get a helmet, whatever he needs.
Think anybody else ever gets to 600? I shouldn't say never, but I think it's Patrick Mahomes or somebody going to play long enough to get to 600 touchdown
what,
passes?
What, 600 interceptions?
Ooh.
The way he's going right now?
Do we think that on Salacious Gossip that our guy Patrick Mahomes needs to shut down the family business here? The brother on the field doing TikTok videos? The mom and the girl, the fiance on TikTok. I mean, it seems like a lot of distractions
happening
here. Once
again, you can't tell grown people what to do. You can't tell your family exactly what to do.
They're gravy training on you.
They're not.
They're causing distraction in your business, your world.
Well, if you let them into that world and you bring them into the sweet, if they've been in the sweet life.
Sweet life.
You bring them to the sweet life, that's a problem because then they can buy their own tickets. They don't need the sweet life all the time. So if they go to the game and act like fools, that's on them. You can't do anything about them. They're grown-ups.
Well, can I give you some more details on the fan who gave the ball back because he loves Tom Brady? An expert in the field of collectibles estimated that ball could at some point be worth $500,000. $500K.
y'all out here talking about 1,000.
Zay's in there yelling at us.
No, man. I just a jersey and a helmet's fine. That's all you need. I don't need any money.
That guy's waking up this morning after he drank his 12 Bud Lights and sat in the front row thinking, I gave away a $500,000 ball.
Yeah, and then Tom Brady's goons, the mob that he has back in New England would have got to that guy's house, got that ball and all his belongings too.
Hey, guess what? As soon as that, if you knew the awareness of that was his 600th ball and he handed it to you, dude, I am running up the tunnel. I am gone. I am out of this joint.
Yeah, and what's his name? Jeffrey Galuli is waiting for you. As soon as you hit the tunnel, whack, right across the knee. Come on. The Galuli family is waiting for you.
Hey, Zay, have you caught a glance of Megan Thee Stallion's outfit at Coda yesterday?
Come on, you know me for a long time. Hell yeah, I caught a glance of that.
And?
Cash App, yeah, they probably went big this weekend.
Megan Thee Stallion, her of the, what is it, the commercials she does, the Popeyes commercials these days?
Yeah, she got new hot sauce at Popeyes.
New hot sauce. She put on a couple of sets at ACL Fest the last two weekends in October there. And, yeah, she was sporting see-through trousers on National Tight Ends Day. So, good for her. Good for her.
That doesn't mean that it's a good thing, right?
It's just a thing.
It's just a thing.
You can label it however you want.
Yeah, that was just a thing right there.
She was.
Doesn't mean it's a good thing, but it was just a thing.
Hey, and you know, on National Tight Ends Days, I think every tight end in the league caught a touchdown pass yesterday. I'm pretty sure
they made sure they did, didn't they?
Didn't it feel like it? I mean, everybody, all the tight ends. We'll run through the tight ends. The
Titans wide receivers are tight ends.
Derrick Henry threw a touchdown pass yesterday on a trick play out of the Wildcat formation
to his tight end. Yes,
yes.
He had his quarterback wide open. They're going to come back with that in the next one.
Throw it to Tannehill.
He's going back to Tannehill. Yeah,
played some wide receiver at A&M, didn't he?
That's right.
All right, let's go to your blitz.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
And don't forget that Titans pick that I gave you for the weekend, too. Let's just forget about that Gary Patterson TCU deal that I threw in there for the hell of it. First Blitzer, you're up.
Bucky, dude.
Yeah.
How Big Ten of the Big Ten to have a 9 overtime game end at 20-18.
That's awful. That was awful.
Good point.
That was such bad football. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, when Darryl Worrell won the national title in 69, there were 200,000 people in Austin, Texas with us. Now, at Dakota, there were 300,000. Darryl Worrell would have said, we are champions, baby.
Champions, baby. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Bucky.
Yes, sir.
Didn't you leave Ricky Williams 10 yards short of 1,000? This is Mike Evans.
Oh, thanks, Mike.
Lack of awareness he's calling on you.
Come on there, Mike Evans. Thank you very much. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Yo, Bucky, ask BK if Billy Joel put his teeth in. He didn't have them in New Orleans.
Oh, no.
Wow, no. Come on now. The piano man has to go with his...
Sing us a song, you're the needs to go piano man.
Eckert. Next Blitzer, you're up.
This week, I'll take 5 for 200, Alex. Thou shalt not allow the opposing running back to outgrind the best running back in the nation.
Amen, brother.
I'm going to buy into
feed
that
the beast,
one for sure.
Feed the beast.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
Urban Meyer drives the Dodge, Aaron. Most a-holes do.
Ooh, a-holes drive Dodges? I had just observed, because I did get the note that you've got to go to sensitivity training because I was bagging on Subaru drivers and Dodge truck drivers.
In the left-hand lane?
I was just observing that seems to be the highest percentage of people who squat in the left lane and drive slow.
The squatters. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, this is Bev Curry. Yeah. Hey, Longhorns, you're not the only one to enjoy coming off of a bye.
Gee, thank you. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Stayed up late to get that one.
Lucky dude, I can't celebrate tight end day. This is Michael Sam.
Wow. That's going way back. Next Blitzer, you're up.
What's up, you dumbass Aggies? You're still dumbasses.
Thank you. Thank you. Short and sweet.
Thank you, big dog.
Shut it down! Let's go home!
Succinct statement there. This says on the Specs text line, Billy Joel was fantastic on Saturday night. Played all the great songs. All the greats.
Piano Man was at his best. With his teeth in.
Saw that outdoor stage when they put it on the hillside there is really cool because they don't when they do a big show like that, it's not at the amphitheater. They do it on the hillside out near the other end of the track. And I was there. I saw Elton John there. I've seen a couple shows there. It's cool. because they can get like a ton of people on that hillside.
Is it time to bring back Taylor?
Swift?
Yeah. Billie Eilish?
Billie Eilish, yes. Maybe.
Maybe.
Megan Thee Stallion. Megan Thee Stallion.
Megan Thee Stallion?
As somebody on the text pointed out, it could be Megan Thee Stallion's hottie sauce.
Giddy up,
hottie
giddy
sauce
up.
At Popeyes.
Giddy
huh?
up.
All right. We'll be back. We roll on. We're going to the fourth quarter, Buck. Let's
there we
finish.
Go.
Let's finish. Let's not give in to the fatigue on a Monday. We're going to the fourth quarter next on V&E.